Hodges Broadcasting Network, live on iTunes and archived on iHeartRadio, the voice of consciousness. And now, join Shea Parker's Best of the Best, offering celebrity guests, lively discussions, hot topics, free psychic readings, and expert guest hosts. Simply the best in spiritual and metaphysical talk radio. Listen live on your phone or device using our universal mobile player. No app needed. Shea Parker's Best of the Best. Find out more at bestamericanpsychics.com.
Good evening, everyone. This is Vicki Snyder, the Everyday Mystic Angel. I'm the guest host of Best of the Best each fourth Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am a certified Shea Parker Best American Psychic, medium, and angel intuitive. You can learn more about me and my services at www.vickisnyder.com. And I spell that V-I-C-K-I-S-N-Y-D-E-R. You can even book a private reading with me either in person, phone, or Skype right through my website. So tonight I have a very special guest on the show, and I'm going to introduce her. And her name is Michelle Butt, and she is a facial intelligence expert, a certified master coach, master NLP practitioner, master of timeline therapy, certified hypnotist, and an ordained metaphysical minister. She is also a contributing author to the book Ready, Aim, Captivate, featuring Deepak Chopra. She teaches insightful communication and relationship strategies using the face as the guide to knowing how to interact with others based on their needs and communication preferences. She helps clients use the face as a tool to truly understand people's patterns, behavioral preferences, and needs to create success in all areas of their lives. And you can contact her at www.atfacevalue.com. And value doesn't have an E at the end, so it's atfacevalue.com. And her email address is michelle@atfacevalue.com. And again, no E after the value. So welcome to the show, Michelle. How are you this evening?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Excited. Yes, me too. My gosh, you've got a lot under your belt here, and it sounds so fascinating to me. So I'm just so excited to dig right in and kind of learn about you and what you do and how you do it and how you learn to do it. And oh my gosh, it's just facial reading just sounds so fascinating to me, and I'm sure everyone else is going to find it fascinating. So to start, maybe you can explain what is facial reading?
Well, it is what I do is I read faces, but not in the kind of lie to me, looking for expressions kind of way. What I look at are features and markings and wrinkles and shapes of faces to determine patterns and habits of behavior, patterns of life experience, patterns of impact of life experience, so that you can get a personality profile of another person in order to have better connections, build rapport, communicate better.
Oh, wow. So it's not just looking at their expressions. It's all of that. Wow. How did you learn how to do that?
Well, I've been a coach for many years, and within my coaching practice, as I was working with clients, I sometimes felt that there was a piece missing, like I wasn't able to get to the heart of what they needed to get to the transformation that they wanted, or that they weren't able to articulate what was really going on inside. They just weren't accessing it. So I went to the place where I go for inspiration all the time, which is Chapters here in Canada. So, you know, the Barnes and Noble kind of equivalent. And I was wandering around the books, and I came across a book on Chinese face reading, and it was very interesting to me. And I was kind of drawn to the book. I picked it up and thought, oh, this is interesting. And then I walked away and I wasn't allowed to leave the bookstore without that book in my hand. So I brought it home and I devoured it. And I thought, okay, I need to learn how to do this because this is my missing piece. And so I went and found the woman who wrote that book and studied with her for a few years in order to learn about face reading and then how to apply it in my practice to get to the heart of what I wasn't seeing in people. And I realized it was right there in their face, and it changed my practice and it changed the way I look at everyone, especially in my own personal experience. So,
wow, that's so fascinating. And I love how you said that at the bookstore, you couldn't leave without it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, definitely like the spirit, the universe saying, okay, time now to take you to the next level and give you that tool. So that's so fascinating. I love hearing those kinds of stories.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know the universe had a plan for sure.
Definitely. And I think, you know, myself being a psychic medium and doing readings, I find that I come across this a lot. And now, you know, doing radio also, the people I interview, it always is some kind of divine timing that gets them kind of doing what they're doing, which is just fascinating because it shows that there really is more going on than we know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a great way of expressing it. Divine timing. Yeah. Because I think that came exactly when I needed it to for my own personal relationships and for my business. So it was really wonderful.
Yeah, it feels like it. Usually those things, you know, do come at the best timing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So what did you do before this then?
Long ago, I was in corporate. I was in management and customer service and all of that. And then I took some time off to have kids. And when I realized I have four, and as my youngest was heading off to school, I wanted to do something else that wouldn't take me back to the 9 to 5. And I'd always worked kind of in a coaching capacity in my corporate job. So that's when I pursued the NLP and the other coaching aspects. And so for the past 10 years or so, I've been exclusively coaching, and that helps me build a life around a business and really fits in with my family. And about 7 years ago, I added the face reading piece to that.
Wow, that's isn't it? It's awesome to be able to have a career change like that, you know? Mm-hmm. What kind of type of coaching do you do? Is it just any kind of life? Is it life coaching, financial coaching? What kind of falls into that? It's such a broad.
For the most part, I do relationships. A lot of my clients are women in transition. So just in kind of this middle age, 40 to 50-ish area, where either they've gone through a separation or a divorce, and they're looking to understand themselves and understand all the relationships or the relationship potential going forward, and just figuring out how to navigate their family, themselves, and their place in the world, and understanding themselves on a deeper level based on what their face says. So that's the main basis, is the face is my guide to help people to make transformation. And then I do teach face reading to people, especially entrepreneurs, for sales and building rapport with customers. And so I have a couple of niches, so it gives me some variety and the ability to transform one-on-one, but also spread the knowledge of facial intelligence to anyone who wants to learn.
Wow, that's awesome. So the coaching, I'm trying to get an idea of this facial reading. Is it something you do, beginning your session working with someone, or is it just an ongoing process? How does that work?
Well, you know what? The face is the base. So if I was to kind of outline a typical client experience with me, it's that someone will come and the question usually is what's your biggest challenge right now? Why are you here? Why did you seek me out? Or why were we drawn together? And, you know, sometimes it's people are just like, oh, I'm curious about what my face says, and they want a reading. And then as they sit down and we do that, you know, as with anything, once you start giving information, you realize that there's something deeper and there's transformation that needs to occur. So I read a face, I explain to people what their features are saying about them and some of their life experiences that show up on their face, and they think, oh, right, I didn't understand why that is the way it is or why I think that way. And it's based on a pattern of thoughts and feelings that express itself physically in changes in their face. And so that begins the journey. So the face is always the jumping off point. And then, you know, as we work together, sometimes people work with me for years or a few months, you can see changes in their face, or we can go back to things or new life experiences come up. And then we filter them through the context of now knowing themselves on a deeper level and being able to look in the mirror and potentially see changes or remind themselves of areas of strength in their face and areas of challenge that they can look at and say, okay, now I know this is the mantra I use with that, or this is the tool I use to move forward when I hit this particular lesson or roadblock again. So it's really fun.
It really does. It reminds me a little bit of palm reading. I mean, and that it sounds like the lines can change as well as situations in your life change. So it sounds like the face changes as well.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I mean, the most profound change that we normally see is our wrinkles that develop over time. and in face reading, they have incredible meaning. But
like, what do they mean? Like, just, you know, you don't have to go into great detail, but like some wrinkles are deeper and fatter. So is that what you kind of look at?
Well, there are three different types of wrinkles in face reading. There are the wrinkles that we're supposed to get.
Okay.
So those are things like what in Western culture we call crow's feet, but in face reading we call them joy lines. So we want to see those on the face as people get older to show that they're actually in a place of openness and experiencing feelings of joy enough that they begin to carve into the story of their face.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're going to be going to break, and I don't want you to not finish this, so we'll come back to this. See you in a few minutes.
Great.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors. Connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go.
Yeah!
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Divine Angel Messages. This is Vicki Snyder of VickiSnyder.com, and I'm interviewing my very special guest, Michelle Butt, who's from atfacevalue.com. You can reach her at www.atfacevalue.com, and value is just V-A-L-U, no E. In the first segment here, we were talking about, we ended the, before the commercial, talking about wrinkles. So I find that very fascinating about the crow's feet and the joy lines, and you were going on to tell us a little bit more about some wrinkles. So do you want to pick up there?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I'm just going to backtrack for a minute because,
sure.
You know, we look at wrinkles in our society as signs of aging. And, you know, as we do get older, we do lose collagen in our face and areas. So it is easier for markings to develop. But really what wrinkles are the result of a repeated expression that we make. And expressions form after we think a thought and then we feel a certain emotion and then we capture that emotion somehow physically in our body. And it shows up very often in our face. And so that's why in facial intelligence, we say the face tells the story of who we are and our life experiences. So if you think about it, if you continue to make an expression over time and over many years as we age, then that expression is going to begin to carve itself into our face and they become wrinkles. And so that's why when we look for wrinkles, the different types and where they show up can give us as face readers a really good indication as to what kind of emotional and thought patterns are happening for someone that is sustained enough to create that impression in the face. So that's just a little bit of how I see them and look at them. So really when I see here in our society, we call them crow's feet and people Botoxing them, and I see joy lines and I think, oh wow, this person must feel joy and connection a lot of the time for those to show up and be visible and prominent and always there. What an interesting story. What a really lovely part of their story. So I love to see. The other kinds of wrinkles that can show up on the face is any horizontal wrinkles that show up. And normally we see these in the under eye area, or we'll see them often across the forehead. These are indicative of lessons learned in life. So I kind of look at them as badges of honor. So if you see a line showing up on your forehead, the forehead represents the decade of our 20s in facial intelligence. So it's like, oh, wow, we've learned some lessons in our 20s. And the more solid the line, the more solid the learning. So chances are you're not going to bump up against that particular lesson over and over again once that line is complete. So, you know, it's again, okay, wow, we've learned something in our 20s. Let's figure out what that was, especially if the line's incomplete, because this is where we can understand why someone might keep be bumping up a particular against a particular issue in their life, or keep having to learn a lesson because they're not really there yet.
Wow, that is so fascinating. And you brought up a point about the forehead being for the 20s. So do other parts of the face correlate to different times in their lives, or is it kind of split up as in sections, or when you do a reading and you're learning? Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes. Any place on the face will tell you one of three things. So a face can tell you, or a feature or a marking can tell you about a time of life. So there's a spot on the face for every age from 1 to 100, as well as then clusters. So like I was saying, the forehead is the decade of the 20s, you know, our nose is the decade of the 40s. So there's different areas that will tell us about different times and seasons in our life. A face can also tell you potentially about a health issue. So you can look for changes in the face to see if there might be a health thing going on. And that's kind of how face reading started back in ancient China. You know, healers were looking at changes in the face to look for healing, and they began to realize that there were predictable patterns of behavior and emotional responses in features as well. So that's where that came from. And it can also tell you about your emotional nature. So,
wow. Mm-hmm. Tells a lot. So, and I guess that saying the face doesn't lie really means a lot to someone like you. You know, it really, you know, the lines, a person can say something, but then their face, if you're able to read it like you, it might not correlate with what they say either, right?
Right. And it may be because they don't even realize that they're stuck in a pattern.
Yeah.
Or why they do things a certain way. And, you know, oftentimes it's that just realization of, oh, okay, that's why I do that. This is part of my innate nature. Or maybe it's a way I learned to behave because my mother had that feature and mine is different. And now I'm just copying her. And that's why it always feels so strange for me to behave in this way. And you can bring people back to their home emotional planet.
Wow. So the wrinkles to now, did you say like, anything about like, cause sometimes you'll see some people that have really deep and thick ones.
Mm-hmm. And it depends on where they show up. And,
okay.
You know, the deeper and the thicker, then that's just the deeper, the emotional, implication or the deeper, the lesson, any wrinkles that show up kind of vertically on the face are what we call like warning signs. So those are the wrinkles that are telling us, hey, there's something up in your emotional nature or something going on in your life that you can look at and potentially change. So these are the wrinkles that I often see that might come and go. For example, oftentimes you might see vertical wrinkles kind of showing up in the rear lower cheeks.
Okay.
And when those show up, like some people can have them very deep. And that is a pattern of potentially of lifelong feelings of lack. And that can be like a lack of nutrition or a lack of love or a lack of money or a lack of energy or time or sleep. But in general, the emotion connected to those kinds of wrinkles is a sense of lack or not enough in someone's life. And so if they're deep and they're long, then chances are that's a pattern that people have been carrying for years. I oftentimes will see this show up in people's faces when, you know, if I have a mother whose children have been in a ton of activities and she's been a little sick and then they've been sick and I'll see them showing up because she's just running herself a little bit ragged. And then a month later, she'll come back and they'll be gone.
Wow.
Because and so once you kind of know, oh, wow, this is showing up and it's kind of faint, then, okay, what am I feeling that feels like lack in my life? And how can I take some time to fill that cup so then it'll reflect in the mirror for me so I'll know that I've put the balance of that emotion back in order.
Wow. This is really such a wonderful tool for working with people and helping them and empowering them. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, and it's your work when you're just seeing others. Because if I see someone that's showing up, I might have compassion for them in a way that I might not have had if I didn't know that, oh, wow, there's a general sense of lack going on in that person's life. I wonder what's going on. And so as opposed to, you know, running off and having a hurried conversation, I may sit down and, you know, talk to them a little bit more and see if there's something I could help them with or... So it gives you this wonderful ability to see people in a different light, to communicate with them on a deeper level.
And I think the world needs that. I think with all the texting and all, you know, not communicating, this is so important. I think we're just missing a lot of things with people, you know, that we could be helping each other. Mm-hmm. So this having a little bit of intelligence and knowledge on something of being able to use a tool like this could really make some changes in people's environment.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
Now that we're in this internet age, it's so wonderful and empowering. Like we get to have this wonderful conversation that we might not have had before. But with facial intelligence, what it does is we can see people on Facebook or, you know, Google them. And even though we've never met them, we can look at their face and then get an idea as to what their personality might be like so that we can speak in language that they will resonate with or understand a little bit about how they make decisions or what might have been going on with them emotionally so that it's not as cold a conversation as it could be, or especially if you're in business and you're cold calling and you're searching on the internet, it gives you a way to know someone before you even have a conversation.
Yeah. So that would be really great for sales, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So what is a master NLP practitioner?
So NLP is neuro-linguistic program. So I know how to use those tools. So what I do is I kind of use the face as the starting point as to how to get to the root of what I might see that somebody may need or help them to understand themselves. But then there are still things like limiting beliefs and past experiences that need to be cleared. So the techniques in neurolinguistic programming help to clear those things and in a, like an ongoing coaching scenario.
Okay. So it sounds like you're really treating like a whole whole arena of things with people, you know, working with them. You know, because then I see you're a certified hypnotist. So how does that come into play?
Well, within the, you know, this is the thing within the coaching model and that in the NLP is that there's different levels. So there's doing things like anchoring and finding those limiting beliefs and clearing them. And then the hypnosis helps to calm people and help them change patterns unconsciously if they can't do it consciously. So sometimes with face reading is that you bring an awareness to someone about a pattern and they can just automatically change it. But if, because now they're aware, but sometimes if they've been doing things for years and years and years, you may have to talk to their unconscious to get agreement to start changing those, that pattern, and then see the reflection in the face. So all of these modalities kind of tie in to help the transformation process. If someone is looking for a deep and, transformation, especially if they've been through some really hard things in their life. And so, but for me, it always begins and ends with the face.
Isn't that amazing? I love how everything just tie, like you said, it just all ties in together. And it just sounds like a really, you have created, it feels like something just really an entire way of working with people that it just feels really good to me. I don't know how to, I'm not saying it right, but maybe you can help me say it better.
I kind of call it the understanding advantage, because when you can understand someone by looking at their face, then you build enough rapport and connection that then you can go deeper and they have a trust for you that they'll allow you to then use the tools that they might have been scared of before in order to get to you.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back to Divine Angel Messages. This is Vicki Snyder of VickiSnyder.com, and that's VickiSnyder. I'm interviewing my very special guest, Michelle Butt of atfacevalue.com. You can contact her at her website, which is that at facevalue.com, and value does not have an E at the end. Her email address is michelle@facevalue.com. Again, no E after value, just the U. And when we were talking about kind of treating her way of treating is kind of a holistic approach, I'm feeling. So I'd like to get a little bit more into the history, though, of face reading. I know it feels like that's a passion for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I kind of alluded to before, face reading kind of began thousands of years ago in ancient China. So in ancient China, that many years ago, if you were royalty or women especially, and you had an illness and you went to a healer, they weren't allowed to touch you. So they had to look at you holistically, and that word is really resonant with me, to see if they can diagnose the problem just by observing changes in your body. And for the most part, they looked at the face to see if there were changes in the face that could indicate a correlation with a system that was causing physical discomfort. So for example, in Chinese medicine, the area under the eyes, if there are changes there, usually if it was a physical cause, it could be something happening with the kidneys. And so, you know, if you look at the way that they now have five elements, acupuncture and the meridians, they kind of all tie into that was the beginning. But in the process of looking at the face for categorizing health issues, they began to see that certain features correlated with certain behavioral patterns, with certain emotional responses, with life experiences. Different places on the face represented different ages, to look at patterns in decades, as well as if something showed up in a particular spot, might be something that happened at that age or that you reconcile at a later age. And these, they looked and categorized those as well. And it was predictable, the outcomes of the shapes and sizes and differences, in a way that really made sense. And so that is now what has now become modern day facial intelligence. So kind of what I try to do is take this ancient science and art form and apply it in a way that makes sense to our modern age, to help people understand a new yet old language that is available to us all, but we don't know, and could really help us connect with other people and even ourselves.
Wow. So is there an organization of facial intelligence experts?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
There's, you know, I'm probably one of a very few here in Canada that actually do this work. And there are a few people that do it in the States. But each of us specializes in a different area. For example, her name is escaping me right now. I can't remember her name.
That's okay.
She specializes in face reading for health, and she was actually on Dr. Oz. My particular teacher, her name is Jean Hainer. She specializes in face reading really for clearing and transformation in a personal space. And I really like to do it in getting people unstuck and understanding themselves and building connections with others. I love helping people look at faces and build new bonds in their relationships or find the perfect partner for them based on their values and their emotional patterns, and understanding another person's emotional patterns, especially in this day and age of online dating. Navigating some of that can be very scary and tricky. That's the way I like to use it. So it just depends on how, you know, we all resonate with people for different reasons. And so it just depends on what you're looking for and how you want to come to that awareness.
Okay. Now, do you know how it got over to like Canada or the States, or when, or how long has it been, you know, around in our areas?
Well, it actually has moved through the ages. Like, there have been people who studied then bumps on the head, and that was called phrenology. And then there were scholars in middle age kind of England who studied faces, and they called it physiognomy. There's all different variations.
Okay.
And different, you know, some people just intuitively read faces and have categorized their intuitive interpretations of what features mean. The practice that I do is based on five elements in Chinese medicine, so it goes to that kind of Eastern practice a little bit more.
So you were talking about dating and the online dating. I can imagine that this would be a huge tool for, you know, people to try to find out a good match, you know, especially if you're looking at pictures and, you know, one after the other, you know, it's got to be hard. So is there like a quick tool of how to kind of know what you're looking for that you teach people?
Absolutely. I teach people to first get really clear on what they're looking for. I think what happens is that we can see a face and it might be attractive to us for whatever hormonal or intuitive reason that we feel that we're drawn to somebody. But what we also need to really look at is what do we want in terms of what a personality of the person would be. And then when you look at a face, even though you're attracted to it, to be really clear on, okay, are there some of the features that are showing up on that person's face that really match the personality that I'm looking for, or that may not match? And so there may not be as much resonance as I want up front, or maybe there might not be, it might be harder. So, you know, anyone can be in relationship with anyone, but if you're looking to make it easier and if you're looking to really understand someone, then some of this could help. I'll try and give you an example.
Okay.
So for example, if we're looking to see how well someone might do in relationships, you know, one area of the face that really speaks to our capacity to understand innately relationships is our mouth. So, you know, the mouth is all about nurturing. It's associated with the earth element in the five elements of Chinese medicine, which is all about nurturing and taking care of others and self-care and feeding and anything to do kind of with that softer side of relationships.
Okay.
So if someone has a nice, full, naturally full mouth, then potentially relationships could be easier for them because innately they have a bond to that element, and so that nature of relationships, there's an innate understanding of it that's almost in their DNA, in their personality DNA. Whereas someone who might have a thinner lips or a smaller mouth, relationships may be harder for them. So they don't innately speak the language of relationship. It doesn't mean that they can't be in relationships. It just means that they might not be as giving, or they might not be as receiving, or they might have had a difficult relationship with their mother or their primary caregiver. So it's kind of made it harder for them to trust or to be open. And so it's one of those things where you notice that and you think, okay, well, if I really like this person, then I know it's going to take time and a lot of work to really stay in relationship with them because they don't, it's not like their native tongue. Relationship isn't their native tongue. Whereas somebody else, if they've got a nice fuller mouth, no markings around it, they're going to be, okay, relationships are, it's the primary language they speak. So they'll just innately be easier. And so that's just one thing to know, because if you are a woman seeking a man and you see him, someone with thin lips, you might think, oh, but he's got, you know, beautiful eyes and everything else you're looking for. But then when you start a relationship with him, you're wondering why it's so difficult and why he's not open. Then that's just a clue. And you might want to explore his relationship with his mother or other women and why it might be more difficult for him, or what his fears are around relationship. And it gives you a talking point to communicate and then understand, as opposed to automatically thinking, okay, this guy's not really into me, he doesn't care. It's just that it's a language that's harder for him to learn.
Wow, That makes so much sense too, and it's so easy. This is mm-hmm. such a great tool that, you know.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean you automatically rule someone out, but it gives you some way to navigate connection in a way that you wouldn't think before without making assumptions, right?
Right. Yeah, definitely. And I like the whole idea of not just going by, you know, the first instinct of how you, when you look at a picture of someone, you know, but also looking more deeper, you know, than just those looks.
Well, and in our society, we kind of think tall, dark, and handsome.
Exactly.
Chiseled features. But oftentimes, those chiseled features and really strong eyebrows, those people are harder to be in close relationship with because they are normally, they need to be active and moving all the time, or they're potentially quicker to anger and frustration. And so it's harder, especially if you're a really soft, kind of round, earthy woman, to, you might look at that as a nice contrast, but it may feel more dominant. These are kind of people who like to win and like to be the one in the dominant position. And so that attractiveness can be physically attractive, but you need to look at what's emotionally attractive to you as well. And sometimes the physical and the emotional don't connect.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Well, we only have another minute before we go to our last break, but what about, so we just quickly, what about, how can people use that for business, you know, in the business field with coworkers?
Okay, absolutely.
It's probably a big topic, but.
Well, I can tell you where to look to see how people make their decisions.
Okay.
And that's a really quick, easy one that people can apply even without seeing us and hearing this on the radio. So
okay.
That'd be a really fun thing to do when we come back.
Okay.
And then, you know, there's so many things that the face tells us. Like it can tell us what kind of an intuitive someone could be. So, you know, just looking at your face, I can tell that you're really empathic. And so it's no wonder that this is the work that you do.
Yeah.
There's so many things that we can just learn just by looking at somebody.
That's amazing. Well, the music hasn't, well, it's going to start now, but the name of that first book you read, what was that?
It was called The Wisdom of Your Face by Jean Painter.
Okay. See you in a few minutes.
All right. Awesome.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Of VickySnyder.com, and my special guest tonight is Michelle Butt, and we're talking about facial readings and how she uses those in her coaching practice. And we were, before the break, we were talking about how reading a face can help in business. And she had a little tip that she was going to give us.
Yes, absolutely. So one place that I always look initially when I'm looking, when I see someone for the first time, it's kind of my go-to feature, is I look at the eyebrows. So eyebrows tell us a number of things, but one of the things they tell us in particular is how someone makes decisions. So their go-to decision-making strategy. Particularly if you're in business or if you're in sales, if you see someone's eyebrows and you can recognize their decision-making strategy, then you can know how to present your arguments in a way that you'll get better buy-in. So, for example, if someone has really long, straight eyebrows or thicker eyebrows that are straight, then they value logic. So they really look at any decision from the place of logic first. So does this make sense? Is it strategic? Is it cost effective? So if you're asking someone to buy something from you or to do business with you and they have straight eyebrows, then you really want to give them the ABCs of things and not kind of beat around the bush and not talk about, you know, how it would be good for the environment or the people. They're really looking at what makes sense. So you present your argument logically, and chances are you're going to resonate with their decision-making strategy.
Wow.
If someone has kind of more rounded and curved eyebrows, which are, I'm looking at your Facebook picture, so it's kind of like you.
Okay.
So you do have nice thick eyebrows, but they're rounded. So on some level, you value logic, but for the most part, someone with curved eyebrows, they also think, what's good for all of the people concerned? So their decision making goes through a filter of people-centered outcomes as well as potentially logic as well. So it needs to make sense not only from a strategic perspective, but also will it benefit all the people involved? So if I do this, if I buy this thing, if I do business with you, are my employees going to be happy, or is it going to be good for my family? Am I going to be okay with it? Is it going to enhance my relationships in some way? And that is the filter through which someone like that would make a decision.
Wow. So and that's like perfect for me. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And so that's kind of how you'd want to present it. So if you're saying, you would say, well, this is really good for your relationships if you buy this thing, or it'll be really great for your health or something. So it's not necessarily about the dollars and the cents.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you teach classes or have workshops that if listeners would like to learn more, that they can get in touch with you, that you do?
Yes, absolutely. I do a fair bit of live ones around you know, here in the Toronto area, and usually those show up on my website. And in mid-June, I will be launching an online program. It'll most likely be 6 weeks, and we'll cover each of the five archetypes of the face and then go in depth into each of the features and how to apply the knowledge for connections and within building relationships and rapport.
Okay, wow, that sounds great. So that the June workshop, will that be done through Skype, or how will you do that for online?
It'll be done webinar format.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll either be using, I usually use GoToWebinar, but I'm considering going over to Zoom because you can see the faces and interact with people, and then you can have them on the replay, which is really kind of nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to check that out because I just find this all very fascinating. I think for me personally, it would really add to the work I do as well.
Yes,
and personally too.
For coaches, I have a fair bit of, I do teach workshops for coaches because it's really nice to see someone walk in the door and be able to start building some rapport with them and understand them before they start launching into what they believe they need to tell you, because usually there's something much deeper going on and their face is giving it to you as a gift. It's really quite beautiful.
Yeah. Well, before we run out of time, I know I want to really talk about this, the book that you were involved in, Ready, Aim, Captivate. So can you talk about that, of what the book is about and how you got involved in it, and whatever else you'd like to say about it, where people can get it?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon. Okay. There's also a link on my website to get the book. It's actually a really wonderful project. It's about putting magic in your message. So there's a number of contributing authors. Deepak Chopra is among them. And we all kind of talk about our journey as to how we came to what it is that we do and why we love the message that we give and how there's magic in it. And for me, it's just that the face gives you that understanding advantage to build connections and rapport. So it's just my journey and the journey of all of the contributors finding their message. It's really a nice book.
And how did you get involved with that?
I went through Vicki Winterton. She publishes the Expert Insights series, and so this I found the opportunity through her. We've been colleagues on other projects, so.
Wonderful. So it sounds like a great, inspirational book that, how people get to where they're going. And, I think that's always is key, that inspiration is helpful for a lot of people.
Yes. And, especially in kind of the work that we do, it's to not miss the signs. If I didn't listen to the call of the universe and pick up that book, my journey would be very different. And that for me was really like the aha moment was that, I can look at someone's face and I can see signs of who they are on a deeper level. And it's different than the words coming out of their mouth. And so, for me, it's just another way to see signs that the universe gives us, but we don't know because we have this little veil over the veils that are there, either self-imposed or society or just the nature of the time. So, it's another tool to move those veils aside.
Yeah, definitely. Now, are there other good resource books out there for people?
Right now, I think, Jean Hayter is really, she is my mentor and I love her. And she really focuses on the Chinese medicine aspect of face reading.
Okay.
And my mission is to mainstream it so that you can go into business with it or you can reach the average house. Oh, this is really a little too sciencey for me or a little too out there. So I'm trying to bring this beautiful ancient wisdom to the modern world. And Jean is a master at tapping into that ancient wisdom and keeping you in that space. And so if that's the way you really want to learn and get immersed in, then I would definitely suggest her.
What was that book again? Was that the first book?
Wisdom of Your Face.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Wisdom of Your Face.
Wisdom of Your Face, just in case no one, someone missed it. Wisdom of me, including me. Okay, so that's, and she's been your mentor. Where is she located? Did you have to travel to see her?
Yes, she's in California.
Oh, wow, so you traveled far. Mm-hmm. That shows such a dedication.
Yeah. Well, you know what, when you find your calling, I think you go to the ends of the earth to do it so that you can then bring your message to other people, right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we only have a few minutes left, so is there anything, any last words of wisdom for people on their spiritual path, since this, you kind of were guided to this, or about facial reading or communication, anything that you feel that, you'd like to say that we maybe didn't cover?
Yes, I think that, when we're young, we're all kind of taught the golden rule, right? Which is do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. And I've now kind of coined the platinum rule because with face reading and what I've come to learn is that it's not about doing unto others as we would like done unto us. It's doing unto others as they would like to be done unto. Because when you can see someone for who they are and know what it is that they need and then honor that by giving them that, then you'll get back what it is that you need. And that's kind of the beauty of face reading is you can see somebody on a new level and then meet them on that level instead of trying to do what would be what you want, because we're all very different for a reason. And what I want and need is not what you want and need. But if I have a tool that I can understand what you want and need and be able to give that to you, then we can build a beautiful connection.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And you call that the platinum rule?
I call it the
platinum rule. I like it. Yeah, I like that. And it does. It seems less about me and it's about you. So that, you know, this world needs more ideas like that, for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, I think so too. And it's just a new perspective because,
you know,
you can be people-centric without being me-centric. And I think that's the key.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, let me just, I want to say two people can, again, get a hold of you at www.atfacevalue.com. Michelle's email is Michelle, and she spells it with two L's, @atfacevalue.com. And again, value doesn't have an E at the end. That's a little tricky because I know I kept putting an E at the end. I'm like, no website. I'm like, wait. and then I figured out what I did wrong. So no E at the end. And yeah, check out her workshops that are coming up in June. I'm really fascinated by that. Do you travel at all to teach?
I do. I was in Montreal earlier this year, and I don't have my schedule for the rest of the year yet, but I love to travel to teach.
Okay. Yeah. How about Rochester, New York?
Oh, I would come anytime.
All right. Well, that's where I'm from, like we talked about before the show, so I'll have to think about that because I do have a little shop, and I think see if there's interest, but I know I'm interested, and I'm sure there'd be other people because it is something very different but very useful and helpful.
I'm down there. Yeah, it's not a far way for me at all.
Okay, great.
Thank you for joining us for Shea Parker's Best of the Best. Be sure to tune in next week for more lively discussion topics. Have a great week, and don't forget to check out bestamericanpsychics.com in case you need some professional, ethical, and accurate psychic advice from the nation's best psychics. Until next week, take care of yourselves and one another.